You are listening to a life-impacting message preached by Bishop Richard Ayi at the Lovely Voice Experience in London. Bishop Richard Ayi is the pastor of the First Love Church UK, a denomination founded by Bishop Dag Heward Mills. The First Love Church is full of zealous young people who love and desire to work for the Lord. You will be encouraged and uplifted as you listen to this powerful sermon.
Kneel down in your presence. close to you, Lord. I'm coming closer and closer to you. I'm trying to feel your presence now, Lord. I want to be your favorite child, so I'm coming closer and closer to you.
Beautiful.
Amen. Isn't Jesus beautiful? Tell your neighbor it's time for the word of God. How many of you have been enjoying the word of God on Sundays? How many of you are always excited to hear the word of God? If you're excited to hear the word of God, let me hear a shout and some praise. As we welcome our pastor, Bishop Richard Ames.
We cannot accept.
Save us, heal us, correct us, encourage us by the precious Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for such a great blessing in your holy presence. I give you praise and thanks today in Jesus' name. And all shall say amen.
Amen.
Please take your seats and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, and we are reading from verse 13, which says that you are the salt of the earth, but if salt hath lost its savor, wherewithal shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Can we see it in another translation? Yeah. When I saw the word thenceforth, I said, it says that, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, that's purpose, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and walked on by people when the walkways are wet and slippery. That's pretty useful. But anyway, I think that we are trying to learn and see how we should not be useless and good for nothing, but to fulfill our purpose in this life. And when I say in this life, my sound is not clear at all. Okay, so try and brighten the day up so we can all be happy. Yes. We need happiness. Okay, so we are trying to learn and see how we can be useful as Christians. Useful as Christians. Relevant. Relevant as Christians. Like Paul said, not as though I had already attained, but I press on that I would attain, I would discover for myself or reach the goal for which Christ saved me, or for which God saved me. Because you are saved for a reason. You are not saved by accident or by chance. It's not like some perchance something, but there's something that there's a reason. God has a reason. The day where you were being saved, God has had a reason. Make sure Satan doesn't give you another reason for your life here on earth, and even your life as a Christian. Make sure human beings and other events of life do not replace or become more important than God's reason for you. Because a lot of things can go on in your life, a lot of things can happen. It's not as though once you are saved, then everything is on pause. Other things will be thrown at you. Other things will be coming up, springing up. In fact, there'll be normal life. People don't lose their purpose in the faith because of negative things, not because of good things. I've seen, okay, I can share my own what I've seen as a pastor. I've seen people lose their sense of direction in Christ or in the faith or in the call of God because they went to the university. Yes, which is not a bad thing. Is it a bad thing?
No.
Yes. I've seen people lose their sense of direction, purpose, calling because they graduated with first class. I've seen people lose their sense of direction, their purpose, their calling, because they started working at They started working at somewhere nice. Yes. Called, without a doubt, loving God, serving God, flowing with God. But they got a job in a place with glass windows that overlooks the River Thames. Yes, and that was it. It was over because they've never imagined that they will be sitting on the chair in an office that when you look outside you see the Thames and you see Uber boats going and coming. They've never imagined it. Yes, they never imagined that they'll start off at 65K. Then there will be other bonuses come December. It's like come on, is this life? Yes, they've never imagined that they'll see all these things coming to them. I've seen people lose the plot because they got a beloved. That one is more common with girls. That one is more common with girls. Girls are the ones that you will discover that so all along you are only following this God because you are looking for a man. That's it. That's no, but the Bible says that the desire of the girl shall be for a man. That's what the Bible. That's the curse. But that's the curse that your salvation should have helped you overcome. Yes. But it is in that test that you discover that, I've not prepared myself to pass this exam. Oh, yeah. I've seen people. I'm giving you my personal list. Okay. You two, you can prepare your list. Yes, but I'm giving you my personal list. I've seen people who became funny. Yeah, because my thing of core purpose is too long. Became funny because they gave birth. Oh, yes. Again, men don't get pregnant. So you know that this one is also unique to our precious sisters. Yes. They give birth. That is it. I mean, it's overwhelming. It's like I'm busy, you know. This, that, you know. The whole human being becomes even different, looks different, appears different. Can't do this again. No time for this. No time for that. No, you know, it's like only because they gave birth. The thing that happened to them was not a bad thing. A good thing happened to them. Because when a lady gets married, her next pressure point is pregnancy. Oh, yes. The next thing is that she's believing God. Will it happen? When it happens, it's like, hallelujah. Will I give birth? When she gives birth, praise the Lord. And then it's like, God, you know, look, I need to raise this child. Yes. Oh, I think I've seen things. Yes. So it's not just negative things that blow people off. Negative is easy and it's very obvious. But sometimes the victories of life can make you feel that I don't need God anymore. Which is the prosperity of the Western world, which has led them into their folly. Their folly of not believing in God, not doing this. Because they have church buildings. Means that they believed in God and they served God. They served God once upon a time. They served God. They have enough church buildings that they are selling, and those who have faith are buying. Yes. Those who don't have faith are selling. Those who have faith are buying. Yes. So for them, it's like, it's not relevant anymore. It's not relevant anymore because it's like, there is no reason to serve God because we have prospered. It's like all that life is about is to have a full bank account. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you see, if you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised that the thing that can shake your faith is that you have prospered. It's not just something bad or something difficult, but you have prospered. It's that like you have made it. And when you make it, you actually wonder, it's like people start thinking, do I have to pray? But why wouldn't you pray? Why wouldn't you pray? If you are breathing, why wouldn't you pray? Do you know what is coming next? You don't know what is coming next, so you better pray. You see, let me digress a little bit. You see, God, the God we are serving, is not a God that you can explain away. No, don't try and explain God away. I am not shy. I'm not shy and intimidated in saying that I have faith. That's why I'm a believer. That I believe. It's not a difficult thing for me. I can't put God in a test tube or take God to a science laboratory or take God to some place to prove that when this adds up to this and adds up to this, then there's God. I don't need that before I believe in God. I believe in God because I believe. One thing that you should not lose in this long journey of the faith is believing. You must always know that what will keep you as a Christian is that you have to believe. Not you have to explain. The Bible teaches us that there's a mystery about God. There's a mystery. You will get to a point you discover that you can't explain it anymore. You can't explain it. And when you try explaining it, you will backslide. I personally do not believe in the doctrine of explain everything. Can you explain the Trinity? At this age, I'm telling you, with all the anointed great men of God, amazing theologians or whatever, I have not met one or heard one or read one that has been able to adequately explain the Trinity to me. And yet my faith has not been affected because I have reserved that thing for God that I will believe that you exist. There's enough evidence that there's a God. There's enough evidence around me that there's a God. So you see the people who try to explain everything. Everything must be explained and explainable. Are the ones who start watering down who God is, what God is, and church is. You will see the subjects they teach. Very, very, very light and diluted. Lacks the spirit. Lacks what God would like to say, because it's like I have to bring it to the level of human reasoning. Because it's like we are shy of saying that God is a mystery. The faith is a mystery. The Bible says the mystery of the faith. The mystery of the faith. And you want to explain everything. You want to explain everything. Because you're a scientist. Hey, when you stop believing, be it known unto you, when you stop believing, that's the destruction of your faith. That is when you start. If you think everything must be explained, I don't think everything can be explained. By the time you finish explaining this, you see a variation of what you've just finished explaining, that therefore it doesn't add up. That is God. So you say, you can't put God in a box. You can't put him in a box. You can't say that God, you take 7 steps this way, and then that is, then you meet him here. No, you can't. God is God. He's God, and he has reserved some things for himself. The moment you explain him, you say, he just turns to the right and says, I'm still here. So don't take away from your life believing in God. Believing in God. Don't take that thing away from your life. Don't try and say that when A, B, C happens, then God is with me. You know, when that person came to before, or something happened to somebody, I can't remember the story. And then Jesus said, the elders or the two known people who were around, said that who sinned that this should happen. And then Jesus said, this one is not about sin. This one is not about sin. It's not about a mistake. It's not about somebody has done something bad and therefore I'm going to reap it, which is usually our thinking. When something goes wrong, then we feel it's because of something bad that somebody has done or something bad that you have done. But he said that this one is for the glory of God. There are a lot of things. Why did you start from verse 1? So we see what I couldn't remember. Somebody was blind from birth. Yes, somebody was blind from birth. And they said that who sinned that you have given birth to a blind child? It's like, how do you give birth to a blind child? Look at what Jesus said in response. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Sometimes the work of God has to be done in your life. That is why some things go in a certain way. But you see, again, we can't, even though it looks as if I'm explaining to you how things are, how things happen, how things work out. I'm still, but you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, you will be frustrated. Yes. You will be sad. You'll be depressed. You will give up following God because you feel for God, one add one must always be two. But to get two is not always one add one. 108 take away 106. It's also two. Yes. 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 So he's saying here that look, you are thinking you've made a mistake. You've done something bad. And he said, look, God is saying that it is not because there's anything wrong. It is a door to see the hand of God. It is a door to see the hand of God. It's a door to see the hand of God. It's a door to see the hand of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. And you see, what will turn out to be your blessing? A fool who doesn't believe in God will follow that door to their destruction and to their curse. What am I saying? Like, take the story of Judas. A beautiful situation for salvation of the world. The words of Jesus about Judas is that it would have been better if he was not born. Yet we got salvation out of that thing. Oh, yeah. A normal Friday that turned into a terrible Friday and ended up being a good Friday. But a Judas was involved, who it would have been better. Some of the things that you have to pray that you are not used for somebody's blessing whilst you are cursed. Because you must be cursed to be used for that thing. Oh yes. Make sure you don't become someone's Pharaoh to set the Israelites onto their promised land. So, we are still talking about purpose. Let's come back to the taste. Yeah. You see, you have to be, what I pray for myself is that I'll always believe. Hey, when the winds blow, I just say to myself, God, always matter, you mention the name, God, you, it's like, God, you are there. Because you need to be believing. You need to be believing. Otherwise, you become like a normal human. You know, the scripture says that. How many of you believe in the scriptures? The scripture says that as the heavens are high from the earth, so are our ways and our thoughts. Two things. The way you think and the way you plan your life, that's how different you are from God. Or that's how inferior you are compared to what God has. Oh, yeah. We are very low. As the heavens are higher than the earth. In other words, you can't measure the distance between heaven and earth. You can't measure it. So are our ways. So are the ways of God higher than our ways. And the thoughts of God are far superior. Ah, the plan that God has for you and the plan that you have for yourself. Look at me, sir. I've never dreamt, never in my lifetime since I was born, to your surprise, I've never dreamt that I'll be a pastor. Ever. Even when I became a Christian, and I was born again, walking Christian, I believe in God, I'm saying, I've never thought I'll be a pastor. Never. My journey to becoming a pastor, discovering that I'm called, was meeting a girl in the university that I became interested in. And she said she would take me to a church that she knows I would like. And then in that church, I meet prophet, and he talked to me about the call of God. God's ways, you know. I'm just thinking of, okay, I've seen somebody I can marry, so we can have husband on the left, wife on the right, children behind us. We are driving, coming back, living normal. That's as far as my mind went. That I came to be a pastor in England. For what? Are you there? Yes. Okay, let's get to the preaching. Let's go to the preaching. Matthew. We're reading Matthew 5. And we're reading the Amplified Version. Amplified Version. Okay, so it says that you are the salt of the earth. Have you understood that now? But if salt has lost its taste, so we are trying to fight and find a way that we won't lose our taste. We won't lose our taste. We won't become insignificant. So far as God's purpose is concerned, and I'm telling you that working with God. Okay, let me read one more verse. Proverbs chapter 3. Tell your neighbor, it looks as if you are the reason why he's talking to us today. You see, Satan will be tired before you are tired. Yes. I want you to be rock solid believers. Rock solid. No matter what ways will be there. Be there. And sometimes watch the Judases become Judas because they don't read their Bible. Yes. And don't be affected by don't be affected by someone's foolishness. If someone is making them say, tell the person that all the best. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Let's say all the best. Good luck. It was the name of a Nigerian president. Yeah, just say good luck. And watch. And keep your faith. Look, it says that, my son, forget not thy law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days, 3. Mercy, 4. So shall find favor, understanding, insight, God, man, 5. Then 5 says that trust in the Lord with what percentage of your heart? Look, you all failed. What percentage? Look, when you're writing exams, do you read the questions well? Ask the question, what percentage? And you are shouting, oh, oh, with your British accent. Oh, oh, oh. All percent. You are still using all 100. It says that trust in the Lord with what percentage of your heart? 100%. Okay, 100%. But do you realize that you trust God 95%, then 5% with common sense and reasoning? Part. It's like there's some small part that you feel you must understand what is happening. So it's almost like I need to help God to finish his work. I have to help God because I need to understand what he's doing, because this God, he doesn't have full control. And it is that 5% that Satan takes advantage of. You let me finish with, I'll read another one to you. Yes. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know your own understanding? When you've analyzed God, that God is 3 steps, you know, 1, 2, 3 means God, 4, 5, 6 means God. It's like God, this, you know, it's like you can explain God. That's the thing I'm trying to kick out of your heads today, that stop explaining God. Stop it. Actually, stop. Stop trying to understand things. And believe. Yeah. I know modern days they tell that you must understand it. You know, even when the Bible talks about understanding, you must strive for revelation, not common sense. Look at where your common sense has led you. Look at where your common sense has led you. Look at what you've done with your common sense and your arguments. You've almost made turned yourself into a strange woman. With your common sense and your common sense analysis, instead of believing in God. Oh, yes. You see a young girl using common sense to get a husband. Before that, she's going for somebody's husband. Having a child with somebody who is not their husband. Because you see, you're using your understanding. That by 25, I must have given birth. So with your understanding, you will do it. And then you say, you do it in a way that as I'm talking, everybody's going, ooh, ooh. And I also don't like what I'm saying. Me too, I don't like it. You think I'm so rough. I'm so rough that I don't care. I say anything. No, I also don't like what I'm saying. But I'm kicking against Satan. Yeah. Oh, yes. You say I'm putting you down. But Satan has put you down already. Oh, you don't see that you are down. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. It's your own understanding that makes you argue, talk back, everything, you know. You know what one lady pastor said to her sheep, do you want to be happy or you want to be right? Oh, yes. A lot of people just want to be right. It's like everything. I talk back. I said, do you want to be in this relationship that you are in? Do you want to be happy? Do you want a happy? How many of you are in a relationship you would like to be happy? Put your hands down. Hey, how many of you would like to be right? Maybe I should have asked you before I explain things to you. Yes. Because a lot of people they want to be right. Yeah, they don't want to be happy. And do you know why? Because the Adamic seed is stronger in them. The first Adam seed is stronger in them than the second Adam. Who is the first Adam? Because you are enjoying my digression, it's time to end the service. Yeah? The first Adam. You know, there were two trees in the garden. The tree of life, that's the one there. And then this is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is a tree of right and wrong. And the serpent made himself the head usher in the garden. And he ushered Eve. Are you listening to me? He ushered Eve to this tree and convinced her to eat. And she too, she served supper to her husband of this one. Knowledge of good and evil, and told them that now you've become like God. You know what God knows. You are just like God. But God is there. That's the truth. So you see, as soon as they did this one, God sent angels to protect that tree. So man thinks that he's become like God. He knows God. He knows what God knows when he with his inventions and his discoveries. And he feels he is God, but he is not God. This is right and wrong. That is truth. There are two different things. That is truth. God is truth. Yes, God is truth. Yes. So you see, all our arguments, all our fightings, all our battle, everything, because people even we spend years studying. There's a course you study, which I call it the Adamic course. Do you know what course that is? Law. Because that's those who get to court to separate quarrels, to defend somebody. At the end of the day, a judge comes and decides who is right and who is wrong. But it's not the truth. Yes, not the truth. The truth is God. That is God and the word of God. That is the truth. Not what you think is right and what you think is wrong. We are so full of right and wrong. That's our understanding. That's what the scripture says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It sounds almost like stop thinking. But you see, I'm even being careful about saying that stop thinking. But that's what the Bible says. Stop thinking. Stop thinking and believe. Stop thinking and believe. Stop thinking and believe. When Jesus said that, Father has not sinned. Mother has not sinned. Nobody has done anything wrong. This one is for the works of God. You must trust God to believe. Otherwise, you'll be saying that, what do you mean this one is for the works of God? This pain I'm going through, this difficulty, you say, is for what works of God? But it is for the works of God. You watch and see. You see how beautiful God is. Oh, yeah, you see how beautiful God is. You see that God is more beautiful than passing an exam. or getting a nice job, when you see your life evolve, you say, Are you not happy that I came to England for, I was sent to England for a church? Yes. But if I, stay down. I'll tell you when to stand and clap. But can you imagine that it was not like Richard. I will not lie to you. They said, look, I really wanted to be a pastor. You know, I'm the pastoral type. No, I wanted to be a serious Christian. When I got saved, serious Christian, yes, because for me, it's all or nothing. If you're a Christian, be a Christian. This type of you're a Christian, you have things on the side. It's pastoring. It's pastoring that has introduced me to that people like that. That's made me calm down a bit on it and don't really react. But I couldn't live with it. If you're a Christian, be a Christian. Just do our lives. My first years as a pastor, I'm telling you, every time you meet me, I'll fry you. You'll be fried because I couldn't relate with it. Because I feel if you're an unbeliever, be an unbeliever. It's pastoring, it's meeting. I don't want to say meeting you, but meeting the church that has made me know that, people can really, juggle around. Yes. It's meeting Morel that has made me calm down. Yes, meeting Morel. Yes. That made me calm. See, that's okay. People can, and they can still eventually become reverends. So, I realize that God is good. Yes. It's meeting Michael. People like Michael. That's a, hey! God can save. Yes, God can save. Meeting people like Michael that I understood when I see a poster somewhere that says Jesus saves. And I say, yes, I remember Michael. Jesus really saves. Yes. And he saved. He's a very good God. That's what people say. He's a very good God. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. In what percentage of your ways? You're good students. Yeah. Either you're good students or I'm a good teacher. Or we are both good. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will direct that path. That's where he takes over. Yeah, he will not direct your. You saw that he's directing what you want. He directs the path you should take. Yeah, he decides left, right. So he closes doors and he opens others. It doesn't make all won't make sense. You have to believe. If you are your son who believes Proverbs 3:5-6, you before when you can even close your eyes when you are walking because your paths are directed. That's how God expects us to live. It's just cool. Because when you go, you just have a little bump. Boom, then you know that when you turn right, it's another bump. Okay, so it's not here. Then you come around. Okay, it's this way. That's it. Yes. That's paths are directed. No effort. But we really want to work. We really want to do something to say that, I did something. But God doesn't want you to do anything. He wants to direct your paths. You are directing your own path. He wants to direct your path. He wants to direct it. He wants to direct it. So when I say to that, I've never dreamt of being a pastor or being a pastor in England. It's like, because people want to be here. People want to be here. They'll do anything to be here. A man will enter with the name Abina. Do you know Abina? Abina is the name. Abina is the name of a girl born on Tuesday. So you see him working in Tesco. with a name tag, Abena. Because the people who employed him don't know the difference between the female names. But he's using Abena's things to work. That's why a man is called Abena. Abena. Matthew 5. I think I have 5 more minutes to preach. Okay, 10. I think I have about 20 minutes to preach. 20 minutes, if MD permits me. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt, so I'm saying all this, that turn your eyes on what God wants you to do. Don't lose your saltiness. I don't know why Renola didn't sing that for us today. Don't lose your saltiness. Yes, don't lose your saltiness. Don't lose your saltiness. If there's anything Satan is trying to do, it's for you to lose your saltiness. Yes. Fight to maintain your saltiness. Don't lose your saltiness. Don't lose your saltiness. Don't lose the work God has given you to do. Top job. Do you know your top job? Do you know your top job that God has given you to do? Do you know your top job? Do you know your top job that God has given you to do? Yes or no? It's to worship him. It's to worship him. It's to serve him. Right from Exodus, when Moses was standing in front of Pharaoh, he said, the Lord says, let my people go that they may serve me. Let my people go that they may serve me. Let my people go that they may serve me. For his pleasure you have been made. You have been made for his pleasure. Don't you want to please God? Don't you? If your husband tells you, I don't like gold earrings, will you not stop wearing gold earrings? Unless you're a stubborn woman. Unless you say, it's gold earrings that I like. Somebody has married you for his pleasure. When you marry and says, look, I like your eyes. I like your nose. I like your lower lip. Not the upper one. I like the lower one. I like this. I mean, you were so happy. You felt so cute. The day you wore this hair. You wore these tentacles. And he said, look, I like it when it's brown. Since then, you have not changed the color again. Because you want to please him. You want to please him. Yes. Yes. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. We are created for God's pleasure. And Satan does not want you to please God. So the thing that you do that pleases God is the very thing that Satan would want to attack. If he's singing, you see, Satan wants to stop you from singing. You will see how everything is okay, except when he gets to sing it. It's like a certain feeling. Today, I don't feel like going to church, or I'll go late. So that the purpose, your saltiness. You know, if your calling, is to do announcements. Be determined that you do announcements till you go gray. That we'll see you speaking on the screen and we'll say, hey, this Whitney girl, we remember her. With black hair, look how she's gone gray. Because you don't want to lose your saltiness. The thing you have found that you can do for God, do it till you die. Be thou faithful unto death. Yes. Let nothing stop you. Let nothing tell you that you can't do it anymore. Because as for issues and things in life, if you think this is the last one, you are joking. If you think this is the last one, then you were born today. Mm-hmm. if you think the last problem you saw is the last problem. I don't know why we want to live a problem-free life. Who promised you that? I want to see the promise and the covenant. Rather, when I read the Bible, he rather tells her, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So it's like, God, why can't you take a route apart from valleys and shadows of death? But rather, you are promising us that you, as we are walking, we'll go through valleys and we'll go through shadows of death. He said, through the waters, through the fire. Ah, but God, why don't you take us on the clouds? So you can also bring your verse that says that there's going to be cloud nine all year round. I would like to see it. That is going to be that. Don't lose your saltiness. So today, very quickly, for 7 more minutes that is left, not to lose your saltiness is, don't worry, I'll preach. You know I'll preach, don't you? Is that whatever you have to do to maintain your saltiness, do enough of it. The chapter says that you are good for nothing if you do not do enough. Yes. Because there are some foods, it's not that there's no salt in it, but there's not enough salt. So the taste is different. Excessive salt, you can't eat. When there's not enough to, it tastes bland and funny. So you also can't eat. You need enough. You need the right amount. Right amount. So you see, when you read a list of some ingredients, it says a pinch of salt. You actually have to pinch it. Pinch. Can I pinch you? Pinch the salt. Pinch. Pinch. Pinch and then drop. If you grab the salt, it will be different. Yes. Pinch and drop. Yes. You just need enough. 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 And then the thing becomes tasty. So some of the things you are doing, you've been doing it, but you've not been doing it enough to maintain and sustain your saltiness, which is your purpose for God. So what are some of the things? Number one, you must pray enough. Oh, yes, you must pray enough. You must, when it gets to prayer, you must pray enough. Don't just pray on Tuesdays and Fridays. What life is that? Maybe the question you ask yourself when you see prophet leading us on Tuesday and Friday, do you actually think he only prays on Tuesdays and Fridays? You have to actually know that he has come to share with you his prayer topics that probably he's prayed about 7 years ago. Have you not seen a book called Flow Prayer?
Yes.
That's someone's personal prayer topic, so that he's sharing with you. Rather, when you say, you rather have to say to yourself, wow, this is a good example to follow. If this is his life every day, then I might as well pray every day like this. How can you pray Tuesdays and Fridays and think that that's it? I mean, that is it. Even that you think it's a bother. You have to pray enough. Prayer, when it gets to prayer, you have to pray enough. Enough. Look, Jesus prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And then on, I think it must be Thursday night into Friday, he took his disciples on retreat, a place where they normally pray. That's where they normally pray. That's how come Judas knew where to find him. Yeah, he knew, because that's where they go. When he's taking them on retreat, that's where they go. So Judas said, okay, this man, he's into prayer. I know where he is. I know where he is with the rest. So they went there and they found him there. But he prayed. Pray for the will of God to be done. And then when he finished praying, they came with clubs and stones. And he asked, are you coming for a thief, that you've come for clubs and stones? Then Judas steps out and kisses him. And he said, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Is that what you do? But you see, because he had prayed, he was at peace. This is your time. It's going to lead to the glory because he had prayed. When you have not prayed enough, you will panic. Because why will you panic? Because you can't discern the will of God. You can't discern the will of God. Yes, you can't discern the will of God. So let me show you three things you should pray about. Beautiful. Matthew chapter 12. Start from 23. And the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? I love Jesus. Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? Not a weak man, a strong man. Except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. So, the first thing about prayer I want to say to you is that you must be able to destroy invisible demonic strongholds through prayer. Invisible demonic strongholds through prayer. So you have to pray, binding, resisting, opposing, invisible, demonic strongholds. Demonic entities are invisible. You only notice the presence of demons by their subtle manifestations and presentations that they have. How would you know somebody is around? How would you know this person is around? Sometimes if you know the person, you can tell from his voice. Even if you haven't seen, you can tell from the voice. Or if you know the person, you can tell from a smell, perfume the person uses, something the person, or you can tell the person's car is out there. This is the person's car. Or these are the person's shoes. When you open your door, these are the shoes. This person is in the house. So you will know, you can tell Satan is present by when you see the acts and actions of people. Do you know this person has this type of problem, or there's this type of thing in this area, or in this locality, or with this group of people, or in this? You can tell by the signs. You know, the scripture says, verse 43, we have to go to it quickly, okay? My time is finishing. It says that when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, which means that the unclean spirit can be in a man. When the Holy Spirit is in a man, he does the things that the Holy Spirit makes you do. When an unclean spirit is in you, you also do unclean things. So it doesn't. It's not like you say, "Hey, you are possessed." Hey, you have to, no. Just by what you do, like I'm explaining to you, when you come into my house, and you hear preaching, you will not hear my voice. You hear preaching, or you hear loud music. Hey, maybe you know that. Okay, he's there. He's back. He's around. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it, number one, swept, number two, empty, and number three, garnished. What was English for garnished? He finds it empty, swept, and in order. Yes. You tell me that garnished means you put garlic on top. It means in order. Have you understood garnished? It means in order. So are you learning how to read your Bible? Because you read the Bible, you don't understand it. They say you've had your quiet time and there was no revelation because you were not changing the translations to give you better understanding of what you are reading. So get more Bibles on your phone and on your iPad so you can have meaningful readings. Anyway, so he comes and sees it in order. Go back to King James in verse 45. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And that's what the scripture says. A brother once offended is harder to be won than a city. Yeah. He said his contentions are like stronger than the bars of a castle. Or they are like the bars of a castle. His quarrels and arguments. No, you know, be very careful about somebody who is offended. The evil and the wickedness that the person can do when someone is offended and decides to take revenge and do things. Maybe they don't even know what they are doing. They don't even know what they are doing. But it's like, look, let's settle the score. Let's settle scores in this life. Let's settle scores. An offended person who hasn't got Christian depth. It's a dangerous person to be with. So he's harder to be won. Take me back to Matthew. Mm-hmm. He said that he brings other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. I'm trying to explain to you the stronghold that you have to be binding and praying against. So sometimes you have to understand what you are dealing with, who you are dealing with, what you are dealing with, the people you are dealing with, and the areas and the territory you are dealing with. Because the Babylon the Great has fallen. It has become the habitation of devils. There are cities that wicked spirits dwell there and control. Wicked spirits. So when you are praying, you've just prayed twice. No, you have to pray enough for your saltiness to have an effect on such situations and on such people. If you want such a person to be saved, you have to pray enough. Because you see, he's saying that he brings wicked spirits and they enter and they dwell there, that's they stay there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. What it's telling us is that spirits enter into people and they stay. They queue up. The madman of Gadara, 6,000 spirits were cast out of him. That's an example of how much evil spirits can gain influence on a man. 6,000. So as you start entertaining some things, entertaining thoughts, entertaining imaginations, entertaining feelings, entertaining negative things, you should, I'm just saying to you that you should know that what is happening to the person without any debate. You don't even have to say anything to the person. This person is under the influence of a wicked spirit. There must be some space. I don't know where the space is between the spirit and the soul or wherever. I think they queue up. They enter in the influence. There must be some gap. And the only way of this, those sometimes you have very bad thoughts. Bad thoughts keep coming to you. You don't know what to do. The key to getting rid of some of these spirits from dwelling in you permanently, dwelling with you permanently, you have to crowd them out. You have to learn how to listen to Christian music, listen to preaching messages. Learn how to read your Bible every day. Learn how to read sound Christian literature. That's a Christian book that has verses in it. Verses. What the person is saying is being explained by a verse or by verses. That's what I call sound Christian literature. It displaces. All these spirits. Because it comes, the thing is empty, swept, and in order. It means that a person goes to church all right, but doesn't do or practice the things they do so that these spirits won't return. Yes. And also a good example is an offended person or a hurt person. Someone has been hurt before. Oh, mark that person and watch that person carefully. Watch a hurt or an offended person carefully. One day they'll betray you. One day they'll strike if they are not healed. If they are not healed. One day they'll strike. That's why when you're offended, be very quick to forgive. Because now it's going to be your turn that the spirit starts queuing up. Oh, yes. When you're offended, be very quick to forgive. Be very quick to forgive. No matter how light it is, just say, you know, it's okay. Be like Jesus. They don't know how it hurts. So, I mean, number two, the second, I'm just talking about prayer. Today I can only do one point. So, you're just doing the prayer point. That enough, there must be enough prayer in you. And the first thing I'm sure is how to deal with the strongholds. How to pray enough. And have enough Christian activities in your life so that spirits don't turn you into their stronghold. Because that's where you continue embarrassing yourself and doing evil acts without realizing what you are doing. Because unclean spirits are there. And people introduce unclean spirits to you. You see, you are sweet, you are clean. Then suddenly you meet this person, which in this church we call beloved. Before the person has introduced immorality to you, all sorts of things, then the spirit starts queuing up. Because you started compromising on the belt of truth. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. When you are praying enough, you must be casting down evil thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Which says that for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So casting down evil thoughts. Don't spiritualize it. Evil thoughts. The thoughts that you have are the sign of the presence of evil. Evil thoughts. Every evil act, every sin starts with a thought and an imagination that you lost control over. That's how come you did it. Yeah. It starts with thoughts. Never underestimate thoughts. The thing that is occurring to you, look, if you don't deal with it, you'll do it. Bible don't say in the book of James, lust when it is conceived, something when it is done, and then something that is done. Find it for us while we read it. So something that is done, something that is done, something that is done. Why don't you start from verse 14 so we have a good feeling? It says that, but every man is tempted. Your temptations in the first place are linked to the lusts that you have. That is, the desires and the interests that you have. If you have interest in gambling, you'll be drawn or tempted with the thought and imagination of gambling. Yes. If you are into drinking, you'll be tempted by the desires that is there. And if you are big on fornication, your target is obvious. Mm-hmm. So every man, including you, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and then enticed. Then, when lust is conceived, do you understand conceived? When it takes root, that is pregnancy. So it means that it is there and it starts growing in you. That's the script. Casting evil thoughts, imaginations. Don't let it stay. Take when the thought comes, take the second after pill. Not the morning after. The second after the thought comes. Otherwise, conception will take place. The second, literally, the second after pill, which is, I reject this thought in the name of Jesus. I block it. Satan, in Jesus' name. Second after. The very second after. Because when it is conceived, you're in trouble. If it takes roots and starts growing, it's only a matter of time. You will do it. You will do it. No matter how great you are, the scripture applies to all of us. When you think, curse it, destroy it. Otherwise, the thing that you are looking at and you are desiring is looking beautiful, before you realize you are playing with it. Mako makita labati libikato shapataya. Famikota saya. Fabitala. And you see young people are full of lust. But the Bible says flee youthful lust. I mean, you have the feelings. Sheesh. It's the same feelings that makes you serve God well. Conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When the lust takes root and you go and give birth, do you understand? This woman received a seed from her husband. A seed. That looks nothing like a human being. But when she gives birth, it will be a human being. It will not look like what her husband gave her. So it's like the last bit is like thoughts. You know, thoughts, but you are feeling free. It's like, because you haven't done it. It's just thoughts, you know. I'm thinking this, imagining this. Oh, she looks pretty. Oh, he looks cool, you know. He's really cute. This guy is cute, you know. Let me go and say hello to him. Let me text him. Where? Let me move my hair back. Okay. Let me go and say hello to him. Yes. The girl you notice is the one who is presenting herself to you. Make no mistake. 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 Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's it. It's over. Third point. I don't think I need any further explanation. The third thing is, So this is casting down evil thoughts. I think you can see how to cast down evil thoughts. The second after pill, or the second after action. Otherwise, when it's conceived, it brings forth sin. That's the activity. And sin, when it is finished, that means, because sin, it is done. When you finish doing it, that's it. Your faith is finished. Church going is finished. Your fellowship is finished. Anointing is gone. Calling is messed up. You don't feel like doing this again. I don't feel like doing that again. That means sin is finished with you. And then eternity, damnation. Number three. In prayer, use the word of God. Destroy invisible demonic strongholds by using the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God is very powerful. Jesus used the word of God to oppose Satan and to cast Satan away. Instead of Satan telling him what to do, he used the word of God. Say, Satan, I will not do what you're saying. So use the word. Know the word. Quote the word. Read the word. If you can't quote it, open your Bible and start reading it. Read it to yourself aloud. Read it to yourself aloud. As you're about to act in a way that is contrary to what the Bible says, or you're having thoughts, feelings, you want to do things that are contrary to what the Bible says, open the Bible and read it. Yes. And overcome the presence of evil. Do it enough to maintain your saltiness. How many of you sometimes have felt that you don't want to go to church? Oh, you don't feel like church at all. At all, isn't it? Usually because of that boy, isn't it? That boy you are sitting next to, isn't it? Let me look this way before I fall into trouble. Yes. Yes, you don't feel like it at all. So what do you do? You take the Bible and then you read. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Read it to yourself. Read the instructions to yourself. Read this. So you feel like, okay, I'm leaving the church. Then you are forgotten about all the things that you don't have any good reason why you are leaving. You have misbehaved. So there's nobody even knows that you have misbehaved. You have misbehaved. You have done this. You have that. I'm leaving the church. Then you take Psalm 1 and read. The tree that is planted. Instead of becoming a mobile Christian, be a planted Christian. Read it to yourself and tell Satan, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving. After I've been planted here for 17 years, you're going to uproot me with all my roots. You're going to plant me somewhere else again. Stand to your feet and thank God. Beautiful. How many of you are going to practice what you've heard today? So today we're able to do prayer. Next week we'll see what we can do. That we can do enough of it. We need to do enough of things. Enough of things to overcome. To maintain our saltiness. To maintain our saltiness and our relevance and our purpose. You do enough of it. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, thank you for teaching me to maintain my saltiness. Grace to maintain your saltiness. Grace. Grace to maintain your saltiness. Grace to maintain your saltiness.
The more I seek you.
Pray for yourself. Pray.
The more I
pray for strength to maintain your saltiness. That circumstances will not make you lose your saltiness. Lose your effectiveness. Lose what you have to do for God.
I will.
yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, not by calculations, not by understanding. Yield to the Holy Spirit. He will help. He will help. Father, thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your word, Lord. Your word has come to save us, to heal us, and to make us, Lord, what you want us to be. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for that mighty blessing that we've experienced today. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you're here, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. Someone invited me to church. Or I've been going to church, or I've been doing church hopping. But I feel far from God. I don't seem to have a relationship with God. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be a child of God. Pastor, please pray with me. Whilst every eye is closed and every head is bowed, if you're here like that, say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want a relationship with God. Just put up your right hand wherever you are standing and I'll pray with you. Just your right hand very quickly. Pastor, pray with me. I want God in my life. God bless you. God bless you. I can see your hands. I say, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. Just your right hand, Pastor, pray with me. Pray with me. Pray with me. Pray with me. Pray. Don't feel shy. Don't feel shy. Don't even think about your friend. Don't even think about your friend. Your conviction you have, the love of God you are feeling, and the influence of the Holy Spirit you are feeling, your friend may not have it now. So don't think of it. It's not in pairs or by friends or by family. It's you as an individual. It's God calling you today. Can you feel that God is drawing you today? Just put up your right hand up because your time has come. Your day has come. Just your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to stop this lifestyle. I want to live with a good relationship with God. Just your right hand. God bless you all. If you have your hand lifted up, I want you to come to me right now. Come out of your seat and come to me. Even if you didn't lift up your hand, you want to come. 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 This is your chance. This is your chance. Come all the way. From wherever you are. Say this prayer together. Close your eyes, bow your heads with me. Say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me of all my sins. I know, say, I know all the bad things I have done. Please forgive me. Heavenly Father, I am sorry for all the evil I have committed. I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus died for my sins and he rose up on the third day. Now say it out loud. I want everybody to say it. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Please come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Say, thank you, Father, for accepting me today. For washing me with the blood of Jesus and for making me a child of yours. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for the salvation of these three wonderful brothers. Thank you for choosing today to save them. In Jesus' name, amen. I think today is a day of... Thank you. I think today God decided to save men with beards. What a blessing. It's an all men's day and all beards day. So congratulations. Jesus loves you. Congratulations. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Congratulations. Can you see our sister standing here? She'll have a brief word with you. So if you go this way with her, she'll talk to you briefly, that you come back to your feet. God bless you. Take your communion.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Well, I love that old cross where the tear rests at best for a
bread and bless this cup as we receive it. May it be the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus, washing us, washing away our iniquities and our transgressions, and bringing life and healing and strength into our bodies, Lord. Save us, Lord. Save us from the seed of the serpent and the seed of the wicked one, Lord. May it wash away every seed of negativity. I pray for life in every department of our lives, Lord. Let there be life as we eat and receive life. In Jesus' name, the body of Christ, eat it. Ah, the precious blood that washes away our sins. Drink all of it. Drink it. Now lift your hands
for your blessing.
Receive your blessing.
Whatever threatens you is cursed.
Amen.
Whatever is at your doorstep seeking to enter your house, I rebuke it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
What access points and entry points are left open in your dwelling place, I seal them now. All perforations are sealed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. Let there be angels around your house.
Amen.
Let there be increased angelic activity.
Amen.
Around you.
Amen.
May the blessing of the Lord keep you from the stroke, from the death, from the cough, from the disease of the lungs.
Amen.
From the wicked inventions.
Amen.
Of human beings.
Amen.
By the blood of the Lamb. By the prayers of the saints.
Amen.
You are declared covered.
Amen.
Delivered.
Amen.
Protected.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your life is sealed.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
1,000 may fall by your side, and 10,000 by your right hand, but it will not happen to you.
Amen.
I pray for everyone, from the east to the west, from the north to the south. Let the angel of the Lord keep you from evil. Nakalo Ramashindo Santalama. You are declared an escapee.
Amen.
You have escaped
Amen.
The evil.
Amen.
And you are now declared a fighter for the Lord.
Amen.
A last day warrior of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May you stand where others failed.
Amen.
May you stand where others died.
Amen.
May you live when others perished.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All they that are incensed against you shall be confounded and ashamed.
Amen.
Let them that strive against you perish. And let them be as nothing and become as naught. According to the word of the Lord that is spoken by the prophet, you are declared a blessed survivor, an overcomer, and a victorious child of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Shout a big amen.
Amen.
Another big amen.
Amen.
And an even bigger amen.
Amen.
All these blessings shall be yours.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor you are escaping every curse.
Amen.
Yes. God bless you. Take your seats.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. For more information, follow us on social media. Search for First Love London on Facebook and YouTube. And First Love UK on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Have a blessed week.